I'm Fraser Kane, and you're listening to the audio edition of Universe Today.
Let's say you're browsing through the comic book store and happen to notice a perfect copy of Action Comics number 1 on the rack, mixed in with the current stuff. That's Superman number 1. It's in mint condition, untouched since it was first printed almost 70 years ago. Now imagine the same situation, except with stars. Anna Friebel is a PhD student at the Research School of Astronomy and Astrophysics at the Australian National University. She's working with a team of astronomers who found the oldest star ever seen, possibly untouched since shortly after the Big Bang. Anna, thanks for taking the time to speak with me today.
No worries. Good day to you.
So how old is this star that you found?
Well, that's a bit of a problem because we cannot actually place an exact age on that star. You would need to measure radioactive elements in the star, and as you said already, the star is very primitive. It is in mint condition, so we don't see any radioactive elements, and hence we can only make a good guess on how old it is.
Well, how does it look different from, you know, our own sun?
It's very different from our sun. We found the star because it has very low iron as compared to the sun. And this is also the reason why we think it is the oldest star, because it has the lowest iron abundance ever observed. But not only the iron, also many other elements, carbon, nitrogen, are very low as compared to the sun.
So why does our sun have larger amounts of iron and this one doesn't?
That's fairly easy if you consider chemical evolution of the galaxy and the entire universe. And as you might know, after the Big Bang, the universe started off with only hydrogen, helium, and a little bit of lithium. And over time, the heavy elements were synthesized in the stars itself. Certain elements such as carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, and iron were synthesized during the lifetime of stars. But other elements, especially the heavy ones, were produced in big in supernova explosions, that's the death of a big star. And so over time, the stars got enriched more and more in heavy elements, and the sun is not very old for astronomical standards, hence it has much more heavy elements than the star HD 1327, which we found.
Okay, so you're saying that that normal stars like our sun have kind of been through the wash cycle several times, and they've had their matter recycled through several stars, and that's why they have some of the higher elements in them. How could a star remain untouched from such a long period?
Well, the density of stars is in some areas rather low, in others it's higher. This star is a halo star, so it's in in an area in our galaxy which is not very populated. So it's just been sitting there for many years, and it's still because it's a low mass star, it's still very unevolved. So, yeah, it's just waiting there for us to find it.
And what kind of star is it? Because if I understand, like, our sun is, several billion years old, but definitely not the age of the universe. So what kind of star is it that it could be as old as the Big Bang?
The star, as I said, it's a low mass star, so it's a bit lighter than the sun, and that means it evolves very, very slow. I mean, the sun is still, well, in its teenage years, I would say. It hasn't burned much, and so has HD 1327. You know, high mass stars burn very, very fast, and they explode quickly as a supernova, enriching the surrounding gas, the interstellar medium with heavy elements. But this star, because it is so low in mass, has just been sitting there and burning slowly its hydrogen, and we think the hydrogen has just been finished burning. So helium should be the next stage.
How early on do you think that it actually
formed?
How long after the Big Bang?
Well, we have two scenarios, and one would be that it formed in the second generation of stars, and the first generation formed within 1 billion years after the Big Bang. So that star should have formed very quickly, probably about 1 billion years after the Big Bang. The second theory is, which we cannot exclude, although I personally don't favor it, is that the star indeed is a first star itself, meaning it formed as one of the very, very first stars in the universe. And presumably that happened then within the first billion years, yeah.
And do you think that there are many of these kinds of stars in the Milky Way?
Good question. Probably not, because they are very old, and hence they are very rare, because it just is a, it seems that there is a certain type of these low-mass stars which are actually able to survive that long. And astronomers have been searching for these kinds of stars for the last 30, 40 years, and so far we've only found two in huge efforts. So we're really looking for the needle in the haystack, I would say.
Okay. Well, I think that's good. Now, I guess I'd been covering over the last couple of years about the terrible fires that had happened at Mount Stromlo. How is the observatory doing?
That's doing very well. We haven't been affected from a science point of view. We have been productive. We've been very much productive, especially since the fires. The reconstruction has now started. We are getting a new advanced technological instrumentation building. So we have a lot of noise here, but that also means that things are progressing. Everyone is doing well, and I think psychologically we've put the fires way past behind us.
Well, that's good. Okay, great. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me today. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Anna Friebel is a PhD student at the Research School of Astronomy and Astrophysics at the Australian National University. She spoke to me from Canberra, Australia.